for. But the first conclusion of the book that I read, Boomtown, was like, look at what Sam Presti fucked up by trading away James Harden. Right? And it was like this conclusion that was immediately followed by another chapter that was another conclusion that was when the Thunder were, he like returned to the city when the Thunder were up against the Warriors and about to go back to the finals.
I got you.
Right? So then he's like writing this new conclusion of, oh, it may go either way again. Right? And then he has a final conclusion, and it was very, like, it was like he concluded the book and he had to go back and write another one. The final conclusion was the Thunder's obituary and how the Boomtown had experienced the bust and they may not return for another boom. And that book, it is kind of frustrating to read. And it took me a while to speak.
Like, how long did it take you to read again?
Well, I just kept getting frustrated with it. So I got the book for Christmas like 2 years ago.
All right.
2.5 years ago, and I finally finished it just because I just get pissed at the author's narrative that was like overwhelming. Like, there were elements of the history of Oklahoma I found enlightening, and there were parts of the team history that I found enlightening. But like, just the way he would use like Daily Thunder comment chats to like reaffirm his opinion that it was like that there was all this divisiveness within the organization. And I'm not saying it didn't end up kind of that way, but I got over it, and I just kept being like, okay, you got to finish the book. You got to finish it, even though this guy is obviously a douchebag. So I think, like, in the end, there's been a lot of discussion about who's going to write the next book on the Thunder.
Sure.
Who's going to be the next person that's, like, a big
Mr.
reporter.
Royce Young.
Yeah, we've kind of put our bets on Royce Young having the inside account from the Oklahoma City Thunder.
That's what I want, man. He's a good writer. He's a good writer.
And I think the inside account of the rebuild would be great. But at the same time, I think the point is everybody's looking for the next book. Because the final chapter on the Oklahoma City Thunder hasn't really been written.
Yeah.
And that book, Boomtown, was really just like, it wasn't even the first chapter. And I know a lot of people will be like, oh yeah, the Russ KD, that 10 years was the first chapter of the Thunder.
Sure.
You know, kind of. For me, I look at it as like the preview of what's to come. Like, it was a team that had the, if you count the year that we almost beat the Warriors, we had a team good enough to go to the finals twice.
Yeah.
Like, we made it to the finals once, but we only were really good enough to go to the finals twice.
Yeah, that's better.
And I look at the team that we're building as a team that could be a lot more like these teams. I'm not saying we deserve a championship or we're going to win a championship, but I do see the possibility of this team in the future with the right additions, with the right growth, with the right luck on injuries, maybe making it to the finals 4 or 5 times. Now, it could be more than that.
No,
it could be less than that.
I want to rephrase that. I think our team will be good enough to make the finals 4 or 5 times. And I say that because, like, getting to the finals and being good enough to get to the finals are you know, it's a luck of the draw, essentially. It's all about what the other team is doing and how you know, like, sometimes you have no control over LeBron James going off and scoring, or you don't have a control over, you know, Joker going off and having a triple-double in the Western Conference Finals. So those are the things that you don't have a lot of control over, but you just you control what your destiny is in the aspect of.
I don't remember who the Heat beat to get. I think LeBron was with the Cavs at this point, but to beat the Warriors after the Warriors beat us when we were up 3-1, they jumped on the on LeBron James Cavs, I think, and got up 3-1. I don't know who they beat in the Eastern Conference Finals, but I'm pretty sure that team felt like if it wasn't for LeBron, they were good enough to go to the finals.
Yeah,
we got up 3-1, we had a chance to go there, and then the Warriors got up 3-1 and almost had a chance to win it. So there was at least 3 championship-level teams in that season, and maybe 4, depending on how you look at it. And so you're right. When there's 3 championship-level teams, one of the teams is going to be missing out on going to the finals.
There's always 3. I look at this year as the 3 teams that are championship-caliber teams, in my opinion, at this point, right? You've got, on the Eastern Conference, you've got Miami and Celtics, because Celtics aren't laying down like little bitches right now, which is nice to see. Obviously, you have Denver. You know, like, those are your 3 teams that are, you know, championship caliber teams this year. You know, once in a while, you'll see a team that's not prepared. You know, if Celtics had been swept, there have been 2 teams. That's it. You know, but Celtics didn't get swept, and they're sticking around and making a series out of this. Isn't impressive.
They played 1 good half in Miami, and that was enough to flip the series back to Boston and then really play dominant, and now they're going to Miami. We'll see what happens, but this thing doesn't feel over. And I remember when both series were up, both teams were up 2-0 going, you know, going back to wherever they were going. I distinctly remember talking about how Miami had a bigger advantage than the Nuggets because Miami was going home.
Yeah.
The Nuggets went and finished this thing in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And Miami could have finished this thing in front of their home crowd, and they didn't, and now we have a series.
You're right, dude. It's exciting, and it's going to be continue to be exciting, but it also makes me more excited because it's seeing what a young team can do. You know, like even getting down 3-0. Now there's belief, man. If Miami doesn't win the next game, which is in 2 days, Miami's in trouble, man. They cannot let it go. They cannot. I mean, they're already in trouble, but they cannot let it go to game seven.
No.
They can't.
There's going to be some serious anxiety in Miami if they don't jump out to a lead. What's incredible, too, is like if you look at.
Man, I want to say this. I keep getting sidetracked here, but I look at Miami and I look at Bam, right? And what is he, like 6'9", 6'10"?
I go 6'9".
Yeah. I look at that, and I to me, that's the size of the center of the future. Like, maybe I'm wrong, but I look at Victor, and I don't look at him as a center. I look at him more of a power forward because of his style of his body. Now, he might end up playing center throughout his career, but he would be better off playing a power forward position, allowing him to take out stuff. Same thing with Chet. You know, like, I look at this center position of having a 6'9", you know, maybe used to be forward, you know, learning to be a center, you know, because of the big wide body. I'm all for that. I'm all for Jay Will learning to be play that center role more so than Chet. I'm more, you know, I get excited about this draft coming up because we have some power forwards in this draft that I'm circling and highlighting and saying, I would love to see this player in the Oklahoma City Thunder system because they're a big wide body and you can teach them what they need to be taught in order to take that, you know, massive brunts off of Chet. And I'm looking at this draft, man, and I'm saying this could be a great opportunity to pick up a big power forward. One of those guys, though, that you and I keep going back and forth with that we really, really fucking like, man, is GG Jackson.
Absolutely.
I mean, this guy
He will not get past us. If he's still on the board when it's our pick.
Well, let me say this. Is Sam Presti highlights he really, really likes defenders. He likes defenders first. The one thing about GG Jackson's games, I would consider his improvement areas or the things that he's lacking, is his defense. Sometimes it looks like he gives up. And this is not me picking on him. This is me stating that he is a young player that needs development time. And there's no better system than learning that than the Oklahoma City Thunder G League system. And this is a young man that I would like to see come in, learn our defensive system, because we already know his offensive game is so spectacular. Like, just learn our defensive system. Take your time like Jay Will did, like Poku did, like all these other guys that are big men. Take your time. Because I look at GG Jackson, if he was available at us at 12, like, his offensive game, I would consider right up there with Paolo's. Except Paolo is a couple years, if not a year older. I think he's 2 years older than him.
And he's better offensively than Paolo, bro.
And if GG Jackson was 20 years old going into the draft, he'd be a top three pick.
He's probably not more polished offensively than Paolo, but I think...
Dude, he had like 150...
His game is more ready for modern
jump NBA. Shots off the dribble.
Right.
I mean, how many times have you ever seen a power forward have someplace close to 150...
He's not a power forward, bro. That's why I get so pumped about him, is because he's a 6'9" small forward with a 7-foot wingspan.
I'm saying, though, is like I look at him as a center for our team.
Okay, fine. You always have the craziest ideas, and it's like stuff I didn't prepare for, so I appreciate that about that. But look, you're right. When you talk about Bam 6'9", like, okay, I know right now somebody out there is like, oh, he'll never be a center. Fine. Defensively is probably what you're talking about mostly is like the ability to defend the five on defense makes you slot into that center. But in the end, his offensive game will mean that he plays with the ball in his hand, like you said, off the bounce, like a small forward, like a shooting guard.
But he creates. But that's why, for me, like if you look at him and you put him into the system, the Oklahoma City Thunder system, which people think I'm crazy for putting him at that center level, but if he can learn to bang bodies, right, mm-hmm. and then he's able to bring out their center and create that mismatch, there's you can't keep your center in the game anymore. Because he'll score on them over and over and over again. You have to substitute the center out, and now you got your small ball lineup ready to go.
So Brandon Ingram has a 7'3 wingspan. KD, it's listed at like 7'5, I think.
Damn.
So saying a 7-foot wingspan for a 6'9 player does not automatically put him into like
I think this he's 6'11 wingspan, but yeah, you're at 7 foot. We'll call it.
I saw it listed as 7. So I'm okay. just I'm
it's going all over the board.
Very shitty information. It's always up for you know somebody who has more up to date information to.
I went on to draft.
Okay.
NBA draft combine.
Okay, that's where I need to get my stats because obviously they're accurate. But in the end, this length and the positional play and his shot making ability. Obviously, there's a lot of questions, and he's new to us. I've heard a little bit about him.
We had somebody mention him last time.
Right. We always appreciate anybody who mentions names that we should check out. It helps us. So thank you for mentioning him, and we will continue to evaluate it. We definitely feel like you guys keep your eyes to the college game for us. So we can focus all in on the season while it's happening, but in the end, now it's draft time, and we're all in on draft time. And with Gigi, he's the youngest player in the draft. He reclassified, and he moved up. And we've heard this That's about different players before.
Why I would have an issue putting him in the G League for a year. Because
Shaedon Sharpe reclassified, jumped too. Up, but he didn't play. So we didn't get to see, and it was like, and what he's a 50-inch vertical type player. Gigi Jackson, to me, is a much better prospect.
Yeah, dude, he's got 36 vertical inch leap. I mean, he's got.
Oh, that's
tools.
It's only 36. He seems like he's got more hops than that. But
yeah,
it's
but
a 7
it's the way
wingspan.
He throws it down. He doesn't give people an opportunity to block the shot. Like he has this way of going about it. Like again, around 150. Off the dribble, jump shots. He knows how to get the ISO.
So defensively, though, bro, mm-hmm. you mentioned that he can't. Yeah. 7 foot wingspan. That's all about effort. He can do it.
Yeah, but this is what I was gonna say. Is watching him on the defensive end because I watched a couple games of his. I watched some other things of him, but I really wanted to focus on the defensive end. I do what I do with Poku. Watch Poku. My biggest thing that he was making problems with or issues with on the defensive end was first of all his decision making of recognizing where the ball is at on defense, and that comes with playing, especially with if he had one more year of high school instead of college, he would have picked that up quicker, you know.
But he was so also, good. He would take an NBA player out there
if he gets beat. It's almost like he quits sometimes, and I'm not talking that's not shit, that's just showing me that this guy is still so young that he's still learning how to properly give out hustle and effort, right? And again, I don't look at these as a negative, as a knock on him. I look at these as a, hey, this is just means that he needs about, you know, 6 months in the G League.
No.
And the reason I say 6 months in the G League is because I said the same thing about every one of our players when it came to J. Will, when it came to JRE, when it came to Poku. I said all these guys need it. And if you look at them, they all have had about 3 to 6 months of G League time. Whether it's because of injury, because of this or that, but they've all had that. It's important to get that fluidity from the G League and get that confidence from the G League. When you get injured, you're coming back, you want to get confidence, you want to be able to do stuff like that. So that to me is why it's important. I mean, when you see a young player coming in, you're like, hey, listen, we might have you, you know, play 6 months in the G League. That's not knock on you, but by the time that it's, you know, playoff time, you should be ready to go, you know? And I think that's the thing that every player that's coming into our system should have to be okay with, because you're not going to automatically, if you're even a first rounder, you're not going to automatically get a spot on the team because we're so deep. You're going to have to earn that spot. It's an earn. And I think that's the mentality that will help Gigi Jackson learn how to have a professional habits out there. So again, for me, it's just like that stepping process. Yes, in the beginning of the season, we'll see Gigi Jackson out there because the G League hasn't started, you know? Just like we saw, you know, these other guys out there. But when it comes down to it, I look at it like I would love to see the same path that J. Will had for Gigi. You know, like take
Look,
your time,
I get it.
Learn it.
I get what you're saying, because you want to build positive momentum, right? But
I mean, Usman Jang, like, spent most of his time in G League this year. That's not a knock on him.
He's a man. He's not. There's two questions about him that I think people would ask. Number one, about, like you're mentioning, his defense. And number two, his efficiency. Because let's face it, you're not expecting much when it comes to efficiency for an 18-year-old.
No.
Not in college. And I wonder, though, like, why he's, like, somebody's going to take him in the top 10. I know that he's not ranked that high, but I really think
he could
be a top 10 player.
He's going to be available at 12.
Okay.
And the reason
is, if he is, he's, dude, to me, he's like a Paul George.
Yes. But that's why he's Paul George, but bigger and more physical. But, and that's so, my point, is that, like,
what's wrong with teams that they would pick people? How does he not get into the top five if people are like, oh, yeah, he could be Paul George?
Well, because when you're looking at the new game and the people that are making the decisions about who to draft, they're still unsure. It happens every fucking draft, man. Why was J-Dub available at 12? Because, dude, people aren't willing to pull the trigger on.
But I'm saying 18 years old and he has that level of shot-making ability. Like, he, in a lot of ways, like, because he's young, I still think he's going to increase his vertical. Like, he could be the next LeBron James. Here's the thing. He has a short neck, okay? It kind of reminds me a bit of, like, Boris Diaw. So his frame is bigger than his height. And that's crazy to say about 6'9", but, like, if he had just a little bit longer of a neck, or like a different shape of head. This sounds funny to talk about, but he could easily be 6'11".
Sure.
I'm with you. I'm like, if the game becomes very easy when you're like 6'10" range.
I love it when
you're a passer.
We compare him.
I
love it when we compare him to players. But like, I struggle at, there's a top echelon of probably like 50 players that I really struggle with, probably even 25. I struggle at comparing them to. And LeBron's one of those guys for me. Like, I when you're talking about an offensive game like this right here, it's very elite for his age.
Dude, it's more polished than LeBron's at the same age.
Ooh. All right, I'll listen to it.
Like, LeBron was the best open court athlete ever.
Yeah, but what he did in high school was so shocking. You know, like, what, like, I still remember being there. You know, what's up, Wayne? I still remember being in high school and watching him play and being,
I know what you mean. But I'm just saying, like, when you watch, if you were to say, take Gigi's highlights and apply them to a high school situation.
So you think that Gigi could be look like a rookie of the year this year, next year, at least in the candidates, if he had that opportunity?
It's not out of the question for him to average 18.
So you think he is the sleeper of the draft in that aspect?
I have no doubt.
Nice.
Like, I just don't see any way he should drop below 5. And it'll be his mission to pick it apart. Look, there's an obsession. And it happens every year, and it kind of changes in its form every year. Okay. But, like, it's a copycat league in the NBA. Somebody experiences some level of success at a really high level. Then everybody starts trying to copy it. But there's something that's timeless. And we talked about it in previous episodes. 6'9", 6'10", 6'11". Can play with the ball in the hand, can knock down shots off the bounce, can pass with either hand, understands how to play, like, both ends of the court. I don't care what year you say. You say 1955, 1975, 1969, 1983. These guys are stars. Not like all of a sudden in 2023, athletic, young, shot-making, just straight-up hoopers aren't valuable.
You're right, like, man.
It's the perfect height. Too many people get obsessed with, like, well, if 7 foot is good, 7'5" must be better. But sometimes it just isn't.
It's not. You're right.
It just isn't. But you know what is always good? 6'10".
Yeah.
6'10" with a body that's built for the NBA. Dude, he is so much better than Jabari.
No, you're right, man.
I would say this.
So much better than Jabari is like,
let's put it like this. He's so much better than Paolo, because here's the deal. When I watch Paolo's,
well, listen, if you're comparing him at 18 videos, if you're comparing him at 18, bro, if you need to make sure that's clear, because he doesn't turn 19 until December. So if you're comparing him at 18 years old, I have to say I agree with you. But
okay, even at 19, even as after a freshman year in college, both players not taking into account the age. Here's what I want to say. When I watched Paulo's video mm-hmm. from Duke, and I came away saying, if he had played in an offense that was more like Luka's
sure.
in Real Madrid, I think is who he played for, right? Then yep. he would have seen way more opportunities to shoot from the perimeter, to use cross court passes, to become a more of a distributor, more of a point guard player.
Sure.
But since he played for Duke, he ended up in the situation where he was shooting a lot of long twos. So I said that, and then somebody came along and said, watch his high school footage. And I watched his high school footage, and he was playing the way that he should have been playing in college. But he conformed it to play for Coach K. He should have gone somewhere that would have stretched his game. Now he's in the NBA, and that he's trying to conform it, and he's having trouble with this range. He should have got used to that. And here's the thing. Gigi came in and stretch the court right away. He played with a ball in his hands. He learned how to draw defense, use his gravity, shred up defenses. He was dunking on everybody, and he was the youngest player out there. And I get it. Sometimes the competition wasn't like top echelon.
Sure.
But in the end, there were games where he played against Kentucky and things like that. And he looked like the best player out on the court. And it did benefit him to go to South Carolina versus North Carolina or versus Kentucky, where he would have been one of the players. He was the guy.
Yeah.
He proved to me that, yes, if he had done the path that would have made him like the easy number one pick in the draft, like that's fine. Next year would have been that. Like it's people say it's a little bit of a weaker class. He would have had that chance, but he reclassified. He pushed himself up, and people should actually take him higher because of that. They did it for Shaedon Sharpe, but for some reason with Gigi, they've convinced themselves that like, well, since his efficiency wasn't there, we have questions. Those questions are fake. They're only a result of him being younger when he exposed himself to the like top level, top echelon of challenging competition.
Sure.
So I have to say that anybody who doesn't put him higher than a lot of players that right now seem like they're better, like Brandon Miller, the Thompson twins, it's a joke. Gigi's going to outperform these guys in the long run.
I don't doubt it that he's going to outperform most of the class in front of him. As the fact that he's 18 years old, and if he gets on the right team that will take time to truly develop his talents, I think that's the key. I mean, if he goes to a team that's forcing him to play 30 minutes a game right off the bat, it's gonna hurt him. It just is, because he needs time to develop his 18 year old frame, and that's what it is. You know, like I've seen
he's like a Michael Porter Jr. without the back trouble.
And I just think that he needs to be recognized as one of those players. And I hope when we're looking at it, he covers a lot of ground of what we need. We need a big body. Always need big bodies. He can shoot the three. He can pull up. He can get to the hole. He has a true scoring ability from all three levels. Yeah. And as a big man, that's great. But more so when you reclassify. And then you're looking at Sam Presti, and you're saying, if Sam Presti's looking at it and saying, I'm looking at him and I'm saying, top five next year.
For sure.
You know, like there's certain times that you say, no, the attitude's not worth it, or this isn't worth it. But at 18 years old, you're drafting him for not how he is right now, but how he's going to be in the future. And that's the thing about it, is like, that's what Sam Presti loves. He loves dipping into those like young players that we see with Poku. It's like everybody's right. Like, why do we pick Poku? And he's horrible. And we just, like, we loved what he showed us, even though it wasn't something that everybody understood.
For sure, man. And one thing about this, like, and this is kind of a joke at this point, but for a while, like, we've been looking at the youngest player of the draft and saying, like, who do we want to get based on that? And Josh Primo was, for me, a guy that I was extremely interested in because of his age, and I felt like he could eventually develop. And obviously, whatever happened with him, and the Spurs had to cut ties. But I look at what Gigi Jackson is capable of doing at his age, and I compare that to previous youngest players in the draft, and I have to say, like, you're talking about Poku. We've got a couple of them in a row. I think Giddy was the youngest player in the draft. And time again, you don't see people who have this level of scoring output. It's incredibly consistent. And I have to think, like I mentioned earlier, like Brandon Ingram and KD are these guys that are 6'9", absolute killers with long wingspan. And he's not as tall as KD. He doesn't have as long of a wingspan. But his shot-making ability, I mean, at first when I started watching him, I was like, low-end Steven Jackson, if he ends up not making his full potential. But then I started seeing him rise up off the dribble. And I'm like, Steven Jackson couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Not at this age.
Sure.
So I'm just like, I don't want to say even like put a cap on his game. I just say like he's a killer. He's a pure killer. And you can't have too many killers on your team.
No. And that's why, again, when you have the size that he does and shot making ability, you take the risk that he learns the defense. Because if he doesn't learn the defense, Coach D has no place for him. You know, like, and that's just, I'm sorry, that's just the way it is with the team. Like, you have to be able to play on both ends of the court, or you end up sitting down on the pine. And we've seen too many of the players that are still learning how to play both ends of the court, and they struggle, you know, and not struggle every single time, but consistently struggle. Like, you look at, and this is not me picking on Trey Mann at all, because Trey Mann's ability to hit shots is legendary, but his ability to play defense has capped out his playing time throughout the year. And I think that's the reason why we have to sit here and say, can this young man learn that defense? If he learns the defense, then yeah, he's going to be a starter on this team for a decade. But if he can't learn that defense, then that's when it's like, okay. But that's why, for me, it's taking it slow. Like, there's no reason to rush him.
Desire, right? I mean, yeah. When you have the natural ability like he does, then it all comes down to desire. And one of the things I think we can look at and say is, like, him reclassifying and moving up shows that he's looking for a challenge.
Yeah.
That's what I like to see, that from an athlete. I like to see them looking for a challenge. And I'm not trying to be rude about Shaedon Sharpe, but everything about the way he reclassified and stuff, it seemed like he had kind of already got like intel that he was good. So if you take a challenge and you fail, like, then that's worse than not taking a challenge at all.
Sure.
So he decided not to take the challenge to play. Right? Yeah, Gigi went ahead and said, like, fuck it. I could fuck up something that's really good, but I'm betting on myself. And he did, and everybody's kind of like, I don't know. I think it's a lot of smoke screens. I think this guy is, he's a generational talent. And now here's the thing. This whole class seems like it's full of generational talents. So, but really, we know from history, there's a lot of hype around these players. There's probably only 4 or 5 players that really have the chance to be an all-star, even if it's an exceptional year. So, yeah. What does that actually mean? Who are those guys? And we're sitting in like, this is really deep.
It is. And that's why last year I said, I hope Sam Presti gets 2 top 12 picks. You know, mm-hmm. I think I said 2 top 15 picks, but I wanted him to get 2 top 12 picks. This year, the same thing, man. Like, both picks I want this year, I want to be able to recognize that, yes, there's going to be a growing time with these players. But the reality is that if we get 2 of these players, this draft is as deep like it's not going to be for many more years. And if we get 2 players, then we have the ability to utilize those other picks that we have if we don't like where they're at. And we can get rid of them. Because we have now, that would be, Usman Jang, 19, right? Mm-hmm. We would have Gigi Jackson, 18. And we would have another pick that would be at that 19-year-old stage. Again, it's that age separation between the next group of guys. And to me, that is makes it so that you can have a year or even a 2-year gap with no more picks, because you have those young players already set in stone. So again, it's just to me, if we have an opportunity and then chance presented to us as a no-brainer, we've got to take it. That pick is way too valuable in this year's draft than not to at least look at it and be like, you know what, it's worth this pick.
He's a star. If he goes to like Orlando, it could be a really, really tough career for him.
But that's what I'm saying, is like, it has to be the right developmental opportunity for him.
If I were his family, if I were his representation, I'd be very heavy-handed in a lot of the same way that, like,
I look at Utah, bro. I really look at Utah.
I would avoid Utah if I were them.
No, but for him,
I would be. You remember how Kobe's family, his agent, like really guided where they wanted to go, get drafted by Charlotte. I'm like, we're not coming to Charlotte.
Yeah, we're going LA.
We're going to LA. You know, and I think if something like that, like Eli Manning gets drafted or, but no, he's not going to go there. So don't worry about it. It's not even your option. Like, if I were his family, like we've talked about this a lot. And I mean, this is something we love to talk about, but like how many teams in the NBA are really prepared to make sure that you have the best, longest career possible?
Well, that's what we said. We did an episode that was dedicated of telling Chet how to say Orlando, you can go fuck off. Without saying you can go fuck off. You know? Like, and that was all the things that Chet did. I mean, he did it to the, I mean, not that it was us. It was definitely Chet's people that were telling Chet to do the things that we mentioned. But it was because this is how you tell a team that I don't want to play with you without actually saying I don't want to play with you. You know? Mm-hmm. And it's the only thing the NBA players have. It's what, like you said, Kobe did. It's what these other players did. And when he did that, it made it so that they don't want to draft him. You know? And these other teams are, you know, are definitely going to keep Gigi in mind. But you said if as Gigi's people are saying, hey, buddy, you need to go here. This is where you need to go, buddy. You need to go right to this team, right? If that's the case, then, bro, I'm all for that. Because, again, it's a Chet situation. You know, like he even reclassified to go to that team. And that makes you wonder if there was a guarantee on somebody's part to let Gigi know, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, he's a legit athlete. I think there's a long term a few questions, but those questions will be answered whenever he gets a chance to play with other players that are elite. So
yeah, you're right, man. Makes me excited, dude.
Yeah, dude, for sure.
I mean, like the thing is that I don't think there's people would disagree, but I don't think there's a wrong pick this draft. We could go shooter and guard. We could go shooter and forward. We could go point guard / shooting guard. We could go utility player, essentially. Like, there's so many different directions we could go, and I think it's really going to dictate where we're going to go and who we're going to go with, who is drafted, and who's the mentality of being drafted, because every year there's always something that's highlighted that's more valuable than not. And then there's always somebody that was like a top, you know, 15 pick, all of a sudden picked in the top, you know, 7. You know, so like my question is, what type of player is that going to be? Is Gigi Jackson one of those players that are most likely to jump like that? I mean, sure. I mean, is he willing to give up a couple million dollars a year to go 12 instead of number 7? I don't know. That's in his people and his prerogative, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, well, he gets me pumped up.
And he gets me pumped up too, man. I look at him as a young, incredibly young asset that we would have time to develop. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's one of the most valuable things you can get. Like you said, Wayne, they keep getting younger. And I think that's okay with me, because the more time we get to have develop in our G League and our system like that is better. Like, I would be all for with us drafting players and knowing that we can't utilize them for another year. I would be so cool with the NBA changing that law. It's basically you could draft a high school player, but you have to play him in your G League for a year and not bring him up to the NBA. Like, I would be totally cool with that. You know, like,
weird.
But it would be weird. But the thing is that, like, that's what happens in Major League Baseball. That's what happens in some other sports like that. And I would be totally cool with if you're saying that developing the player and getting him younger is more valuable, then yeah, let's go straight to the MLB. Let's go to the rules like that, because I'm all for helping players out become the best players they possibly can be.
Well, that's cool, man. I dig it. I think there's something to that, but it also gets a little dicey. So we'll see what happens, but I'm pretty sure we're going to just see more of the same for a long time before any changes.
Listen, people are saying that they don't think Sam Presti's going to change his way of drafting. And then you have other people that says just because he keeps on drafting this way doesn't mean he's going to continue drafting this way. So to me, there's so many different viewpoints on this that I'm getting to that point where we've scouted out, definitely scouted out in the players that we have, the player that we will probably end up getting. And we still have you know, enough days here that we're going to definitely keep on going for maybe some second rounders that we're going to get, or if we trade back or trade up, we're just going to cover the board. Names
coming.
Yeah, we're going to keep the names coming, because to us, it's about identifying the things that each player brings to the Oklahoma City Thunder that is valuable. It's not necessarily we're going to go out and draft that pick. It's what they do that brings value to this team and organization. And I think that's how we look at this. We're not looking at this and saying what this player will look good in with the Pacers or anything else like that. We're looking at this and saying this player will look good in our system because of this reason. And that's how we're breaking things down. And I just really, it's great.
So one player I'm in love with, I fell in love with him during the draft process. And I think this is a good comp for Gigi, but like Trey Murphy the III.
Yeah.
6 foot nine. You love Trey
Murphy.
7 foot one wingspan. Plays really, really tough defense and just a killer on the perimeter. I think that would be a great comp. Long-term development for Trey is still unknown, although you got to love the situation he finds himself in at such a young age.
That's it.
So one of the future stars of this league. And I think we're talking about the same thing with Gigi. We'll see what happens, but I'm pumped. Glad to be where we're at and can't wait to get back. You want to try to talk again tomorrow or are you going to be busy?
Tomorrow's Saturday?
Yeah.
Man, let's just see how it goes.
Let's see how it goes, guys. Right, hopefully you're around, but we appreciate you joining it. Moani and Wayne and everybody else out there. We love you and we will see you next time.
Peace out.